boogie woogie, baby.
Okay. Someone's getting festive.
Who's getting festive?
I like it. I like the energy. I like the energy you're bringing, Shannon. Thank you.
Are you talking to me? Well, you can thank this.
I am talking to you.
You can thank this High Noon vodka and soda black cherry that I have in my hand.
Wow. You know, I also have a refrigerator here full of High Noon. I got the tropical blend.
So let me ask you something.
Yeah.
When you drink more than like maybe two of these, do you get like a nasty headache? Because my God, I get like a nasty, nasty headache.
Sounds like
I guess I haven't correlated. I mean, well, I mean, it's vodka. Do you get a nasty headache when you drink vodka?
Not unless it's cheap vodka, which I assume that this is in fact cheap vodka.
It is 100. It's. I mean, they're not going to waste the expensive stuff. Well, the problem with that is technically all vodka is exactly the same. So,
yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe they leave the cheap vodka out in the sun for a
little longer.
Between this
and White Claws, I get really bad headaches. But Trulies, I can fucking pound them all day, baby.
So that makes even less sense, since both Trulies and White Claws are malted and the High Noons aren't.
Yeah,
so.
It's bizarre. I don't know. I'm very sensitive to this stuff. This is now a alcoholic podcast.
True.
Sounds
you know
good
what?
To
Actually,
me.
You know
I'm down.
It might be the flavoring more than the
You
than
know
the
what?
Alcohol.
You know what, Scott? This is why we keep you around. Because
yeah,
you think
see?
Of these things. You think of these
I just
really
cracked the code.
You just think of these really smart things.
Listen, I had a day off yesterday. I am tired. I don't know why I'm so tired because I got plenty of sleep last night, and I'm a little off. You're a little off, Sharon. I don't know anyone named Sharon. I don't interact with people called Sharon.
Is she a mom from South Park? What the fuck?
Okay. Shannon, see that obviously that was part of the bit that I'm tired. But anyway, I had yesterday off. I feel a little off today because of that. I had to catch up with email. Still haven't done that. There's just people who I just don't answer their email because I hate them and I don't want to interact with them on the first day of the week. How about you? Who's going on, everybody? Talk about cartoons. What's going on?
I started the second week of my new job, and so far so good. Really like my new team, and yeah.
I'm doing actual work.
I'm doing design work.
I'm saying, like, are you doing what you should be doing?
I am doing what I should be doing. Nice. What I have been doing for the past, two decades. But I don't really have anything, like, crazy to update. There hasn't been anything too crazy since the last time we recorded. My life's pretty boring. I sit on my ass. I draw. I drink some more. Although, I do have to say... I am on a better eating kick, not necessarily a diet, but I'm just watching what I eat. I'm cooking more at home. I have discovered a Wegmans that's like 15 minutes away, so I'll go out of my way and I'll drive over there and get some good stuff. Because
you live in Virginia, Wegmans, you should find an H Mart.
Well, H Mart's even further away, but
Grand Mart.
That's pretty close. I have a latte that's pretty close, but. I mean, the one thing that I really like about Wegmans is, you know, obviously it's an experience, baby. And then they have all the marinated chickens and stuff like that. And it's packed for two. So they've got like the pre-made sides and everything. And it's just enough for myself and my husband without us having to buy a whole bunch of different ingredients and then have half of that shit go bad in the refrigerator because we just can't cook it fast enough. So this is now a Food Channel podcast.
But I feel you. Like,
one of the reasons,
I only buy stuff that's single or double, like, meal, because I don't want more than like a day's worth of leftovers.
Right.
My strategy, I do shop at a big box store, the BJ's, which is like a light Costco. But I freeze everything and then I sous vide it.
I love BJ's.
To actually prepare it. So Jesus, I don't know how you would know.
God damn it, Mike. We were having such a wholesome conversation and then you had to drop that.
What? BJ's Brewhouse?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with y'all?
Mm-hmm. I have known you too goddamn long. I know what you're thinking.
You know what? You know what? Fuck it.
Fuck it. Scott, I have a question.
That's the point.
Mike,
Mike,
happy birthday.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I fucking quit. Fuck you.
No birthday, BJ?
Scott, I do have a
Mike,
question. I do have a question for you, real quick. Otakon.
Yeah.
So, when are you and your lady going to get into town?
Not sure this is appropriate podcast discussion, logistics, but... I'll bite. Thursday afternoon.
Perfect.
Hopefully, you can get there early enough to try to make sure you nail down a double. The request, but there's no guarantee unless you get there early.
This is a goddamn anime podcast, Scott, and I'm asking you about a goddamn anime convention because I want to know when you're having some goddamn panels because I want to be there.
True.
Have you gotten any confirmation?
I have gotten rejections, but no accepts yet.
Damn.
So we'll see.
I'm still waiting to see what's going on. Because the old man hit 17 on July 5th.
Woo! That is old puppy.
That's a birthday that I want to celebrate.
Yes.
What type of... Who's goalkeeping for that birthday? Like, maybe some kind of lobster?
What?
What are we watching?
Are you
Lobster Goalkeeper?
Lobster
That was the joke.
Watch Yaksha Ruthless Operations, actually.
Are we going to be...
Yeah, tell me about this Ruthless Operation.
I was going to say, we're going to be watching a squid boxer sometime soon. Am I right?
Calamari Wrestler.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
so,
Japan.
On a friend and a listener's Discord, Crazy Diamond... He does a movie night as well, and this past Sunday, we ended up watching Yaksha Ruthless Operations, a Korean action film that came out this year. And when it came up, the person who picked was like, do you want to watch this movie or this movie? And everybody's like, we just kind of want to turn off our brain and watch some action. So it did its job. You definitely need to turn off your brain. It's dumb. It's got some funny moments. It's not going to wow you. There's a lot of action cuts, so it's constant switching of angles. Not as bad as Assassin's Creed, the movie. But it's up there.
Wait, what?
You never heard about Assassin's Creed angles, how they just kept, like, people were getting, like, annoyed because it was just, like, cut, 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 and it was like...
I might have forgotten there was an Assassin's Creed movie.
I only saw clips from it, and I was like, this is...
Oh.
This has a lot of... If you want something that for 2 hours you're going to be entertained enough, it did its job. But
entertained enough.
It's what we wanted. We wanted mindless action, and of the two options, it worked. It had a good cast, though. So it was pretty interesting. Definitely took some shots at the Japanese, though, which was interesting.
Was it a Japanese movie? Or
no, it's a Korean film. Yeah, it took some shots at some of the imperialism from the past, and even, like, now.
What do you mean?
Oh, my.
Imperialism?
Yes.
Were the Japanese involved in some kind of imperialism? I wasn't aware of that.
I'm not getting into that.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not going to go into the Japanese occupation of Korea right now. So we watched that, but as y'all said, happy birthday. My birthday did happen. Didn't do much. Saw family 2 days in a row, then went out and just hung out with like a handful of friends, nothing crazy. And then we watched another movie called YMCA Baseball that was actually took place in Korea during the Japanese occupation. And it was billed as a comedy. I'm just going to say it wasn't. It had some funny moments, but it was way more of a drama, and I was left going, huh. If that movie hadn't been billed as a comedy and all the trailers didn't show the comedy, I probably would have liked it more, but I was a bit bummed out by the end. So, but
I don't think that I don't know how you can get, like, squeeze comedy out of the Japanese occupation of anywhere.
Because it was about them, like, forming a baseball team, and then they take on, like, the Japanese military team. But it was, like, The whole, all the trailers, everything, the poster art, the cover art, all makes it look like a goddamn comedy. And for the most part, you're just like, just kind of a drama. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, and we all know that you're a no-drama Obama, so.
I don't mind drama, but not when something's billed as a comedy. I watch plenty of dramas.
I don't know why you even engage with me at this point.
I just don't want, like, bad dramas, so we'll see what happens with Violent Never Hardened.
I have already started it.
I have
and
not.
And boy, just every episode destroys me so much.
Shannon's going to hate this.
Yeah, probably.
What, do you not like being emotionally
have
destroyed?
Have you not been, like, paying attention to her thoughts on anything remotely like that? You just picked, that's not. Why when you picked the show, I was like, well, I know Shannon's thoughts already.
I don't know, man. It's like my taste in anime has really changed over the years.
I think also life sucks right now. Why don't I watch something?
I don't want to watch no boring,
where life sucks.
Depressed, boring shit. Give me something funny.
We need to laugh right now.
Hey, it's not boring.
Scott's just like, hey, I want to crush your soul for 12 episodes.
Scott, I don't want to feel emotions. Maybe that's the better way to put it. I don't want to feel. I just want to be numb.
That's why I drink till I go dumb dumb.
Just give me, like, stupid anime to watch, and I'm there. Like, Spy Family, right up my fucking alley right now.
Oh, that's Dodgeball episode was so good.
I have not watched it. Do not spoil it for me.
Just remember, Scott, I just want to drink till I go dumb dumb, so I can just forget that I'm numb numb numb. Shannon knows.
I kind of vaguely...
Throwing up all the emotions!
Not clicking. Not
Jesse
clicking.
Numb?
Oh.
Where she actually sang?
It just wasn't clicking for me.
Oh.
I haven't been listening to a lot of Korean music lately. My I've been listening to mostly podcasts.
Mm.
And then German music. Because I'm trying to practice my German.
Sprechen Sie English, that's all you need.
Yeah, right.
That's all I had.
We'll see how I can get around. I'm going to try.
Sprechen Sie English? No?
I saw
okay.
that there was a, somewhere in Munich, there's an anime store, and I want to check it out. I want to see what a German anime store looks like.
Well, just do what I did, Shannon. Sprechen Sie English. If they say no, just look at the cash register for the number and then hand them bills.
Bitch.
That's all I did. I was like, okay.
Credit card all day.
In 1999, I couldn't use my credit card outside of pulling out money.
Just keep handing them euros until they tell you to stop.
It wasn't euros back then.
Yeah, it's not euros back then. It was the Deutschmark.
Yep. Scott, I'm old. I'm fucking 43 now.
Damn!
That's true.
But I don't look it, motherfuckers!
Were you in East Germany or West Germany?
Both. It was not that old.
Maybe you're not. Yeah, maybe you're not that
I
old.
I watched the wall come down in middle school, buddy. I am that old, but I'm not old enough where I was over there. I also watched, well, I don't want to bring down the podcast. I saw another disaster.
Yeah,
we always bring down this podcast.
I saw the Challenger blow up. Live.
Oh, shit.
When everybody's like, turn off the TVs, I'm like, it's too fucking late. We already saw it explode. What are you going to do now? Like, you can't erase it. Like, every teacher running to the TV to try to get us to stop watching was like, we already saw it explode. Turning off the TV just makes you forget the last 15 seconds.
Yeah, I guess.
Dude, we were exposed to some shit back then. I'll tell you. Well, because we were talking, who was I talking with about? Like, back in the day, I think it was you, Mike, we were talking in a Twitter thread. I don't know, maybe it was not you, but we were talking about how, like, back in the day, Blockbuster never carded you when you tried to check out, like, anime VHS tapes. And so, like, there were a couple times when I was like, a literal young teenager checking out hentai because, you know, Blockbuster automatically assumed... Oh, look, cartoon, it's for kids. This should be okay.
That's
and
the
then
thing.
Get
the
home.
First one I ever watched was Tank Police, which was violent and there was a bunch of nudity. And I was 12. So.
Scott, when did you see your first anime boobies?
See, I had the internet by then, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my first anime.
I didn't have to rely on Blockbuster.
Damn.
But there was a place near me, Video Night / Purplepotamus, that legit would have the hardcore hentai mixing with the anime, even though there was an adult section sectioned off right next to the anime section. But they didn't know any better, like she said. So I just walk up and be like, here you go. And my dad didn't give a shit.
Yes, my sir, dad was can I please watch Mezzo Forte, please? Thank you, sir.
That was on DVD by the time it came here. But my dad never cared. Like, my dad was just like, you're going to see this stuff. We have the internet. There wasn't much on the internet back then. So it was either chatting with people or porn. So.
But I think on that note.
Oh, wait, hold on. Hold on, I want to talk about one thing before we go to the anime. So,
oh, he's got to talk about his cassette, isn't he?
There's somebody I follow on Instagram that was selling VHS, and I got the first volume of Kimagure Orange Road.
Nice.
Yeah, the first VHS cassette, and super excited. It's in really good condition. It even has the old Animego flyers. It has How You Can Help Anime Flourish in America flyer in there. And this is one of my favorite things back then that Animega used to do, is they have the opening theme and ending theme lyrics along with production staff, both in it's all in English, and actually they have it romanized for the Japanese as well, and they give you little things. Sorry. Like the title of the first episode, I Was a Cat, I Was a Fish, is actually a pun on the title of a book. So these things were in like Animego back in the day. Their stuff still has all of it in there. $27, but it's hard to find, and I paid that because it is this artwork. The Kimagure Orange Road artwork is always gorgeous. So
lovely. Yeah, cool. Fantastic. Yep. Great. Wonderful. Let's get into some
bullshit.
Don't
be jealous.
Let's get into some bullshit that you've been reading, Mike, because you've been reading some bullshit.
Oh, no, I didn't put that on my list, because I'd be here forever. No, I don't want to talk about any of that, some of that stuff.
You don't want to talk about cats licking nips?
Nope. I didn't even finish that first volume. I think maybe the second chapter, and I was like, I'm out. And I deleted that volume off my tablet and never looked back. But, no. All I did was finish up two spring shows and watch the movie. What do we want to talk about first?
Let's talk about your boy Kong Ming.
Yes!
Because I can
Chicky chicky bong bong.
Now, I haven't finished your boy Kong Ming. Should I just
We won't do a full spoiler
through this?
Yeah, no, we won't do a full spoiler because
it just finished anyway.
I also did not finish it because I fucking dropped it.
Oh no, I'm gonna cover my ears and hum.
I don't know why she dropped it, but
I will tell you why I dropped
Let's talk about it.
I know why she dropped it.
I will tell you. Mike knows why I dropped it. So go ahead, Mike.
You don't like the rap.
Okay, well, I was gonna talk about it, but you can talk about the fucking show itself.
Okay, so we talked about it on our preview show with Kong Ming being a show of Kong Ming from Chinese history, Romance of the Three Kingdoms, basically time travels and wakes up in present day Tokyo, meets Eiko, an aspiring singer, and he brings a lot of his strategies into helping her become successful, because he is wowed and also inspired by her music and wants to see her succeed. And the anime kind of goes through a lot of throwbacks to various battle strategies that were partaken in when he was a general. And now it's interesting to see how they correlate that to what he's doing in the future. Sometimes it really equally matches up. Sometimes they definitely take some liberties. I just don't want to say too much without spoiling. Okay. So, but we'll just say he kicks her off on her journey for music, to basically get to a summer festival she wants to perform at.
It combines the author's dual love of EDM music and Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Now, I
that's,
say,
that's the best way.
I know
to
it's inspired by
it.
A manga, but with the how good this music is, I was like, I don't want to
okay,
read the manga.
Well, okay. We're going to stop right there, son. Because I will say that the opening song is freaking fantastic. I mean, it's going to get stuck in your head when you listen to it. Outside of that, I could not stand the music.
Not even the normal EDM pop stuff?
Just, there's one song that the character sings in English, and she just sings it over and over and
but there's
over
a reason for
and
that.
Over again. I get it. I get there's a reason for that. But it was giving me Walmart Carol and Tuesday. That's what it was giving me. And I got so like annoyed with it. And then there is a character who comes in who is a freestyle rapper.
Kame Taijin!
After Kame Taijin comes in, it just, I had secondhand embarrassment for the rest of the season. And then after, I think, episode 7, I just dropped it because I just couldn't, it was so cringe. Like, I found it to be so fucking cringe. Not only that, I felt that Kang Ming himself started to take a back seat. And, like, the first couple of episodes, like, he was, like, really in the forefront. And I really enjoyed that because he's a funny character. He's a great character. And the interaction that he has with Aiko is really funny. I like it. I like they're a dynamic duo of sorts. But then all these other characters start to come in, and I feel like Kang Ming starts to take a backseat to it. And so I was like, you know what? This is not keeping my interest. So I ended up dropping it.
So I get the Kame part. Kame, Japanese rap in general, and then breaking it down to the freestyle side, is very harsh, compared to a lot of other rap out there. Like, Korean rap, I think, I've always said flows better than the Japanese rap. So when you
okay,
move this
but at the same time, you know that I have listened to Japanese
yeah, but
rap,
I'm
and I like Japanese rap.
Yeah, but I'm trying to explain to everybody listening. So Japanese rap can sound a little harsher. It still flows well. It's not like K-pop in the 90s where they thought rapping was just yelling lyrics at you that didn't rhyme. But I think the only problem I have with Kame Taijin, the thing that makes his stuff not work that well for us, is the problem of subtitles.
Yes.
Because you're trying to read, but it's not flowing on what you're reading compared to what he's saying. So a lot of times I just stopped and closed my eyes, and what he's doing sounds better because they were trying to make up rhymes in the subtitles to what he was saying to make it easier for us to understand. But sometimes they were straight up just like whiffing, and I was like, okay, I have to close my eyes and just listen to him rap. And sometimes he was really good, and a lot of times he was not. I thought his opponent was better at rapping, but whatever.
I just thought like the delivery of it and like the situations that he found himself in and like why he was rapping and battling or whatever.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know, like I said, it was just really cringe to me. And yeah, what's funny is that my husband was actually watching a little bit of this with me, and he goes, why is he yelling? Like, why is this kid yelling? Like, yeah, when he's trying to rap. So it just was, yeah, it really turned me off. You know, I will say there's another character that gets involved in the later episodes that I watched. I really liked her.
Oh, not
and
me.
Well, I wasn't gonna spoil it, but
well, I mean she's not like, it's not a spoiler that she shows up though, like.
Well, so she shows up, and I kind of dig the dynamic between her and Aiko, and I think if I do decide to pick up and watch it again, it would only be for that interaction between those two. But like I said, once Kang Ming started, like, falling to the wayside, I was like, man, this
yeah,
is a bummer.
But when you get to the episodes where Nanami shows up, yeah, you hear her continuously still sing that song because her and Nanami repeat the song over and over. But it's all there because you get to hear her progression from where she's just singing it how she thinks the singer is singing it, to the point where she then starts singing it with her own heart and soul.
I don't know. It all sounds the same to me. She sings it, it all sounds the same to me.
I get what the storyline
is supposed to be doing. I get.
But when she finally drops her final song, fucking fantastic. And the whole thing with Nanami really works out in the end. Yeah, Kong Ming takes kind of a backseat, and Kabe, I won't sit here and defend Kabe to the death, because there was times where I was just like, God damn, can we just move? I don't want to hear him rap anymore.
Yeah.
And some of the people Kabe would be with, and they're rapping, I was like, okay, y'all gotta stop.
Oh my God, the kids underneath the bridge, I'm like, stop.
Yeah, where he's with like his friends from school, yeah. And I was like, stop. Yeah, I was like, they gotta stop, it's getting worse. But overall, this was the biggest surprise of the spring season. And overall, it's just fantastic. The music was great. Humor was great. Genuine, heartfelt moments, especially towards the end. I can't recommend it enough. Scott, you definitely need to finish it. I think Shannon should at least finish it.
We'll see.
It's worth it for the payoff at the end. Kong Ming does take a back seat because they're trying to push Eiko's journey at the end and how she breaks through. And I think why it happens more than anything is because the author doesn't want to put the evolution solely on Kong Ming, and if he kept showing up, it would probably take away from her finding herself in the right moments.
So one thing I really do love about this show and about Kong Ming is like he literally made friends with everybody.
Yeah. And keeps doing it.
Yeah, it's good times. Like his character is wonderful. But ya boy Kong Ming.
So Scott, do you want to go? Or you want us to talk about the next thing both her and I watched?
Oh, I will go. So similar to, well, also part of the, I talked about it during the preview, but it was a Netflix original animation. So the entire series was dumped all at once. And that is Kotaro Lives Alone. And I believe, you know, after watching the first episode, which primarily was about Kotaro being, so, the premise is Kotaro is a 4-year-old boy. He lives on his own and he has adopted like the mannerisms of a kind of a feudal samurai, based on his like favorite anime. But, you know, because he lives alone, but he also has a very, like a very good idea of how to like live like a proper Japanese person. Like the first episode, he goes and he buys gifts for everyone else in his apartment to greet them, which is what you're supposed to do in Japan, and say, you know, hey, hello, I'm your new neighbor, I'm moving in, here's a small gift. But except he's a 4-year-old boy. And so, but the first episode, it kind of introduces all of the characters in this apartment complex, a small apartment complex, and all of them are, you clearly have some, you know, either tragic backstory or trauma. And so it was pretty evident from that first episode that, okay, this is looks like an innocent, cute kid anime thing, but this is going to be loaded with fucking trauma. And you know what? This show is loaded with fucking trauma.
I'm starting to notice a trend with your choices. I'm just letting you know.
The reason that Kotaro lives alone is for, because he was abused and neglected by his parents. And the show, you know, I guess, you know, after a couple episodes, none of these are spoilers, but the show doesn't pull any punches around Kotaro. Like, and what kind of takes the where it becomes like the primary like holy shit moments are when Kotaro expresses like when he comes to his personal beliefs that like the reasons why he was ignored and abused were his own fault. And one of his goals at living by himself is to become strong so that his father will respect him. his father, who they, you know, is legally prohibited from coming within a certain distance of him because of how abusive he was. And it's just like, that is both realistic and yet and heartbreaking and terrible. And why am I watching essentially what is essentially a gag anime about it? But, you know, it also becomes a vehicle to kind of highlight these other characters and what they go through. So, you know, like the side stories of the other characters in this apartment complex, it's, you know, one of his neighbors is a hostess and whose ex-boyfriend ends up stalking her. And one of, you know, the main one who becomes kind of like his caretaker is a manga artist who's desperately trying to make his debut, and the downstairs neighbor is a yakuza who isn't prohibited from seeing his son. And they all get their own little side stories, and it's all, and you know, it all, they're all terrible and heartbreaking and funny in different ways. Yeah, I mean, yeah, anything I said completely turned you off, you don't want to watch this show, but it does actually do a good job of being, of kind of balancing, like, the cute and funny and, like, devastatingly heartbreaking moments, as best it can, if that's worth anything. So if it sounds like something that you can stomach, I would watch it, but there were certainly moments where I was like, I was watching the show, I was like, oh, you know, I'm enjoying this episode. And then it just, like, it takes a turn and it shows you a flashback and it's just essentially just punches you in the goddamn face. And it's just like, fuck. Oh my God. So yeah, definitely not something like, it's not something I would expect to, like, cause you know, Netflix invested money to have the anime made. And it's, so it's not something I would expect them to invest in, because I don't know what the wide appeal is, but I guess it was fairly popular in Japan because it also got a live action television drama in Japan, so maybe they were cornering that market. So that's Kotaro Lives Alone. I do recommend it if any of that sounds appealing.
I'm gonna probably pass on that one, Scott.
That's gonna be a no from me, dog.
I mean, it sounds right up your alley, but again, I'm depressed enough as it is, so I need happy things.
Why don't you go watch Made in Abyss, Scott, or Promised Neverland?
Okay, Promised Neverland was such a disappointment.
Season 2, I didn't watch season 2, but I am going to eventually
read
the manga.
Was a disappointment also.
I made in a... what, season 1, you mean?
I ain't watching any of that stuff. Made in Abyss, anybody who tells me...
It's coming back.
Anybody who's like, I love Made in Abyss, I'm like, who hurt you? Like, literally, who hurt you in life?
Oh my God, there's parts in Made in Abyss with one of the characters that makes the dog reveal from Full Metal Alchemist seem tame. It's so fucking rough.
I've never seen that.
Full Metal Alchemist.
You're Made fine. You didn't miss anything with Full Metal Alchemist.
You shut the fuck up, Metro.
Yeah, that's one that I've just you know, it's kind of like Totoro on my list, just never really got around to it. Yeah,
don't get around to it. FMA is awful. Brotherhood's probably worse, but I stopped after part of FMA and was like, I can't watch this crap anymore.
It's oldest, man. Sorry. You guys talk about Metropolis?
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Let's go.
Man, have I ever told you guys how much of a Osamu Tezuka fan I am? Like, I don't know everything, but I've kickstarted a lot of his manga. So I was excited to finally watch this because my ass has been sitting on a DVD for 2 decades and I was like, oh, somebody picked this. You know what? This is on my Tubi watch list and it's kind of embarrassing. So was happy to watch it. Just want to start off with Metropolis. The animation is amazing. Everything looks really good. They capture the Osamu Tezuka feel. That's probably the end of my praise.
Yeah, yeah. The style of the movie, the animation. There were some 3D parts that just really were like, oof, this is rough.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the animation was really, really nice. A lot of it kind of reminded me, again, you know, where Tezuka got his influence from was, you know, Western animation. But a lot of it, so a few of the characters reminded me of characters that you would see out of, like, a cartoon, like Popeye, like the old Popeye cartoons. So that had, you know, that was pretty charming and But yeah, just like that was kind of the end of my praise for this movie, which is really disappointing.
The thing I remember most from that movie is constantly hearing Kenichi, 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 and to the point where I was like, shut the fuck up. And I swear there's an anime out there that kind of pokes fun at that, and I can't remember what it is, but they keep repeating the person's name over and over again, and I'm like, fuck, is this what that's from?
Have you seen this movie, Scott? I feel like this is a movie you would have seen.
Scott is ignoring us in the middle of a podcast.
I have not seen Metropolis. Okay.
I feel like this is something that you might have seen.
Definitely feels like a Scott movie.
Now, I kind of got lost a little bit in the movie, just because, like, the story itself was just, you know, humans, robots coexist, but the robots are looked at as, like, second-class citizens. They're not, you know, really favored upon by the, I guess, upper class of Metropolis.
Especially from the politicians who are trying to use them to rally. They're trying to use the hate of robots to rally up people. Kind of, I'll be honest, a lot of it felt very mirrored to what we witnessed at the end of the last at the last election. Them taking advantage of people's sentiments and then kind of using that to change policies around. And I feel like if a certain person had won, it would completely have mirrored this movie.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much, I feel like that was the message of the movie.
Which is like a good message, but the execution throughout the movie, there's so much bullshit plot armor, as was discussed while we were watching it, where there's this guy who was rescued by the main villain. So Rock Holmes is rescued by Duke Red, and he kind of takes out rogue robots as needed. And he's got pot shot aim, hits every target until he's firing at Kenichi and Tima, the two protagonists. And then he can't hit a fucking thing.
Dude's got some serious daddy issues. Serious daddy issues.
But he went from being able to be being like a crack shot to being awful at shooting because they were the protagonists, and it just made no sense at all. It's just poorly done. So I don't know. I don't want to talk about Metropolis too long. It's really not a great film outside of I'd say the soundtrack and the style of it is great. I can't recommend it for its story, even though it has a very good message underneath.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same with you on that one.
Yeah.
Frankly, that's kind of, I've kind of always heard that it was not the best film, so that's why I've never seen it.
It probably goes on an extra 20 minutes more than it needs to as well. So there's also this moment, so I just want to say that was one of my problems. It's almost a 2-hour long film, and there's a moment where these people are like, we're going to take back the city from the robots. And then the next time you see them, they've all just been wiped out. There's no actual, like, fighting you watch. And you're just like, you just didn't want to animate that? Like, you had this whole build-up to it, then you're just like, they take out, like, one robot, and then you just see them, they've been wiped out. And it's like, oh, okay. Nice build-up for that that moment. So it just felt like Madhouse kind of dropped the ball here. So not my favorite Madhouse production.
It was Rintaro too, so yeah. I'm sure it was insane, in at least visually.
Oh, it looked great. So I have one more thing to talk about real quick. One other spring show I finished called I'm Quitting Heroing. Up through episode,
I don't remember that one. Which one was that one about?
It's the one where the hero Leo. The world has been saved from the demon lord's army, or demon king's army, and the humans don't need him anymore. They're afraid of him, so they cast him aside, and he goes to try and join up with the demon king's army. And it was really good for about 8 episodes. 2/3 of the show, I was like, this is freaking great. I kept telling people, this is a great comedy. It's got adventure, action, fantasy. It has some great moments with all the characters. They get deeper than you'd expect because the title, the look, everything was like, this is going to be generic fantasy. There's deeper story to Leo that you find out that he's basically been around for thousands of years, was built for the first Demon Lord's army, and he was actually like in a modern day Tokyo, and then everything went to shit, and that's why you have this fantasy RPG world, because everything kind of had to start over. But then there's, I'm not going to spoil this because people are probably still catching up, but there's this twist at episode 9, at the end of episode 9, that by the time I finished episode 10, I was like, man, this just went to shit. The way they handled the twist was so poorly done. They kind of made it work by the end of episode 12, but I gotta say, I wasn't happy with the route they took. I do want to see the OVAs that are supposed to be coming out in a couple months, but I'm Quitting Heroine was like this anime where I'm like, holy shit, this is another one that was a surprise this season, and they kind of messed it up. Somebody asked me if it was like this in the source material. It had a 3-volume light novel. I don't know. Have not read it. I don't even know if it's out in the U.S., but it didn't make me want to go read the source material. Like I said, the way they handled it with the character and then tried to make it to this brooding bullshit, I was kind of like, eh. It kind of ruined it for me. But it was overall a good series. I think a lot of people will actually end up liking it and the twist more than I did. But I found it to be disappointing at the end. But I gotta say overall, because I'm finishing 5 more series, spring was a good season.
I will say, yeah, the stuff I've watched is good, and there's even more stuff that I want to catch up with that seems really good.
I have 5 more to finish, which is Comey Season 2, Love After World Dominations, which is held up. That show's been fucking great. Skeleton Knight Another World actually got pretty decent. It's still not great, but it's fun. The Greatest Demon Lord is Reborn as a Typical Nobody. I don't know why I'm slogging through that trash pile, but I got to episode 8 and I was like, I might as well finish it because it's really gotten off the rails and bad. And then of course Spy X Family.
And I haven't even I'm caught up with Comey, at least I think the last episode I haven't seen, but I haven't even started season 3 of Bookworm.
I didn't start that. I put that off. I was like, I gotta watch. I'm watching too much, and I had a bunch of people recommend Birdie Wing, that golf one you and Matt watched.
Birdie Wing, I only watched the first episode of that too, and I want to go back because I like that first episode, and everyone is saying that the show gets just better and more ridiculous and more lesbian from there.
Yeah, so I definitely want to check out more of that. And I had to put that off. I've got Violet Evergarden, which we're watching on the for the next podcast. That was your choice. But I also really need to get through The Devil is a Part-Timer, Season 1 already, because Season 2 starts in a few weeks, and I want to watch that during the season.
Have you never seen Season 1?
No, I've read all but the last volume of the light novel, which I have right now, which I'll probably read next week. So I'll be wrapping up the actual story from the light novels next week because it is finished, including being released over here. So, but it's at work right now. So I left it at work, so I can't finish it on my week off.
Yeah, in retrospect, that might have been a good choice with the sequel coming up because that's a very charming show.
The light novel is fantastic. So.
Yeah,
I can't believe it took them 10 years to come out with the sequel, but hey, I'll take it. I'll watch the first season at some point. But we also have to get ready, Scott.
Well, I just want to say, Shannon, I don't know if you've seen season 1 of Devil as a Part-Timer.
I have not.
Okay, so that is one of those shows where you look at the concept and you think like, okay, this is going to be good for like 20 minutes, but somehow it ends up staying like charming. Yeah. And
it's a reverse isekai that then turns into an isekai for some characters. It's fucking weird. Oh wait, I'm kind of spoiling happens later in the
book. They did not get to that point in season 1.
Yeah, which is gonna suck because when I finish that last volume of Devil as a Part-Timer, I wanted to wait for episode 239, but I'm not gonna be able to talk about it because it's gonna spoil a bunch of shit that season 2 is gonna be currently airing. So I just gotta go with I'm gonna finish it and not talk about it because people will be pissed at me if I start talking about it.
Yeah, we will.
Devil's a part-timer. Highly recommended. I don't care how you watch or read it, but it's really good.
I'll add it to my list.
Poor Shannon.
I know. I got too much shit to do.
Watching well, anime you were unemployed tough. Briefly, and you did not catch up with all the anime.
Okay. I also did a lot of work on my webcomics, so don't even start with me.
That's when you should be watching anime. Put it on the dub and go.
No. I can't do that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's a good segue. It is a good segue.
Wait, you can't do that? Really?
Oh, my God. No, I can't do that because Shannon, I have... Oh, my God. Never mind. We're not talking
Shannon,
about
Shannon, why don't you tell us about your webcomics, the magical girl one. I'm sorry. I'm so tired. I can't think of
the Lucifer's Ace is the main one.
Thank you.
So Lucifer's Ace is the main one.
God, you can Scott.
Find it and read it on both Webtoon and Tapas. And you can find me on Twitter, Perfect Serenade, and Instagram, Perfect Serenade, and Lucifer's _Ace_ webcomic. Woo!
You forgot something, Shannon.
Hey.
What did I forget?
The thing you created for Webtoon that you posted on Instagram.
Oh, actually, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that yet because something really cool is happening with that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Through Webtoon. Nope. So I don't want to curse myself just in case it doesn't happen.
Okay.
But.
All right. Well, everybody can find me
at Nitro.
G-Nitro.com for your K-pop needs. Currently working on the 2022, I guess 6 months in draft of this year's. I'm working on that till the end of the month, and then I will be starting Top 100 2016. I've kind of already started that, which started at near 1,000 music videos, and I've got it down to 500.
Jesus fucking
dude,
Christ.
The more popular K-pop has gotten is the more videos that these playlists fucking gather for me to go through, and I'm like, I hate this shit. Like, I'm starting to be like, I wish it hadn't gotten popular to this point. But I've just been doing that on, like, at work when I just have music on in the background because I can quickly be like, nope, delete off playlist, go to the next song. But other than that, all my socials /GNITRO or GNITRO at mastodon.social because I'm still posting on Mastodon because nobody knows what's happening with a old douchebag over there buying Twitter. So keeping up with it, I'll probably just continue keeping up with it. I kind of like the downtime I have when I'm just looking at Mastodon and it's not timelines aren't like flying through. Other than that, don't forget to check out Strawberry Station. You can search him up on Twitter or Bandcamp. He did our intro, so always thankful to him. And his new label now, Berry Good Records, which has some new releases coming up soon. Check them out. Scott?
You can find me over at otakuinreview.com, I guess. You can read some old things I wrote once when I did that. But you can always read my musings over at twitter.com/scottspaziani for the time being, of course. And watch me play the Vigi games, currently speedrunning the classic Sega game Rocket Knight Adventures.
You're still wasting your life casually, on video games? God.
Casually playing Final Fantasy X-2, which I have now dubbed my dress-up Yuna.
I never finished that game. I never told you probably what happened. So I got pretty far in that game.
Uh-oh.
And it was like 4 hours in, and the game froze during one of those transformation scenes. And I was like, I was like, I'm not doing these 4 hours over again, and never touch the game again. I was like, I'm out.
Save frequently.
Yes, I know. Save frequently. But it's why I'm glad that we have more autosave nowadays, because that shit was garbage. I do want to say one last thing. It's probably from like a week ago, but Saints Row released their boss creator or boss fat, whatever they're calling it. And I created Sati Kim in that game. A little different than what I had even expected to make her look like, but I like how it came out. So, but check that out. You can create your boss now. And I look forward to that game in August. I can't wait for that reboot.
In 2 weeks we'll be reviewing Violet Evergarden, the Kyoto Animation 2018 anime.
The Death of Moe.
Look forward to it.
Death of Moe. I'm calling that as the Death of Moe.
Good.